Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, my friends, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 16. 9 through 16. So, let me get your attention right here. Here we go. And I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus Above Every Name. Jesus above every name. And let me just say this, my friends. The name alone is what saved you and I. The name alone was what delivered us, Jesus' name. Oh, that's right. The Bible's clear that none of us have seen him face to face, but it is our faith and our belief and our hope that is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, the Savior of this world. And Jesus came and intervened in our life, and he pulled us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I now are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And we're excited. We're excited to be alive for such a time as this, because I truly believe, my friends, that this is the generation, our generation that we live in. We will see the King return. Hallelujah. We are the chosen generation that'll see his return. And when he comes back, the Bible says we will be changed, caught up in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. So with that said, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 16. So here we go. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. Praise God. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always, always obeyed, not as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. That's right. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do good for his pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And the last verse here, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go and expound this verses of scripture, starting with verse 9. Therefore God, say that with me at home, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above what? Every name. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the name Christ willingly set aside the glory, his glory, to totally obey the Father's will. God raised him up to the heights of heaven. And God did not leave Christ in the grave, but raised him from the dead, brought him back to heaven, and glorified him. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to see a couple of scriptures that I have for you. Look at this. In Acts chapter 2:33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father of the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out what? This which you now see and hear. Did you catch that, my friends? God is highly exalted. Hallelujah. His name is above all names. Let's go back to this scripture right here. Look at this, found in Ephesians. I want you to catch this now. Ephesians 1:20, and the Word of God reads, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what it also reads in Hebrews chapter 1. Look at this. Who being in the brightness, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Did you catch that, saints? He purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow. Wow, saints. You see, saints, God gave the Lord Jesus all authority and made Him the Lord of both the dead and the living. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says right here in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and what? Spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Praise God. All authority, not some authority, but all authority. Jesus is head of the church, my friends. And us pastors, millions around the world, we're sub-shepherds. But Jesus is the chief shepherd. Praise God. We get our direction through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word who came to be flesh. So He's the Word. And so we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at John right here. Look at John 5:27. And has given them what? Authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Let me just pause that. What does that mean? That means Jesus will judge sin. Oh, that's right. Listen, this is why I truly believe we are the generation that will be delivered from this world here. And when we're caught up to be with the Lord and we are with Him for 7 years celebrating the marriage feast of the Lamb and the coronation of the King, judgment is going to be poured out at the same time on this earth. And all authority has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ to judge this earth. See, the Bible says that you and I, saints of God, you need to catch this. We are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. Praise God. And so God, hallelujah, will cover us. He will clothe us with righteousness. We will be changed. We will have a new body. We will be with Him forevermore. But then He has to judge this world because of sin. Because God is righteous. He's just. He's a just God. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says right here in the book of Romans. In Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that He might be what? Lord of both the dead and the living. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, saints, Jesus is above every other name, refers to Jesus' title, but instead to His that signifies the person. In the Bible, names often reveal a person's character. Jesus' dignity and honor are above all other saints of God, because Jesus did not cling to His equality with God, but willingly obeyed God in order to carry out the plan of salvation. God honored that obedience. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? God honored the obedience, giving Jesus this name above all names. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth. Praise God. All dominion, saints of God, has been given to Him. And so, saints, in keeping with Jesus' exaltation and power, one day every knee will bow before Him. In heaven refers to the angels on the earth, means all humanity. Under the earth refers to the underworld, possibly to the unsaved people who have died, and including demons, they're all going to bow. And those who love Jesus, let me just pause and say, how many of you love Jesus? Man, to those who love Jesus, will bow in adoration and exaltation and praising and glorifying God. And we will worship Him, praise God. But those who are unsaved, not so, my friends. They will look in horror. They will realize they had an opportunity to give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ during their lifetime, and they did it to themselves. They missed the mark. But we will bow in adoration and worship. And those who refuse, like I just acknowledged, those who refuse to acknowledge Him and bow in submission and fear, those will have eternal ramifications. Let's look at what it says in the book of Ephesians right here. Look at this. Ephesians 4, 9 through 10. It says, now this, He ascended. What does it mean? But that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. Praise God. Praise God, saints of God. Listen, when Jesus died and rose again, He went down into the pits, like we just said. He descended down and He set the captives free. Oh, that's right. Those who were in their grave at that time, wow, He set them free to be with Him forevermore. Look what it says in the book of Revelations right here. In Revelations 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard Him saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to be with Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. That Jesus will sit on His throne forever and forever. But let me just say this. You and I will be with Him. The Bible says the saints of God, hallelujah, will be with the Lamb forevermore. We will worship the King. Praise God. Saints, this will take place at Jesus' second coming, praise God. And when the forces of evil will be completely defeated, and God will form a new heaven and a new earth, praise God. That's going to take place. How many believe that's going to take place? Well, the Word of God reveals that to us. This is why the Bible says, blessed are those who read and believe, especially the book of Revelation. There's some churches that are afraid to talk about Revelation because they don't want to scare the people. But listen, Jesus already won. When you read the end of the Bible, Jesus already won the victory for us. But look what it says in Revelation right here. In Revelation 19:20. Look at this. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Wow. Wow. See, my friends, no one gets away with anything here on this earth. Oh, that's right. That's right. The false prophet, the beast, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's right. Look what else it says here in Revelation. In Revelation 21:1, John the Revelator saw this and he wrote it down. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first, look at this, and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Wow. I always say this in a kidding way. You better get your sushi in now. That's right, because the sea will be eliminated. Wow, praise God, praise God. So let's move on to verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God, praise God. I'm so blessed, saints of God. I am so blessed. You see, every tongue will confess the basic truth of Christianity. Jesus Christ is Lord. And this does not mean, saints of God, that eventually everyone will be saved. No. Every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will recognize Jesus as Lord, either because of belief or because of mere acknowledgement of the undisputable fact. Saints, no tongue will be silent. No knee will remain unbowed. All of creation will recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? I'm so blessed to know that He's my Lord and my Savior. Aren't you so blessed that you can go wherever God leads you and testify what He's done in your life? Don't stop testifying. Share what God has delivered you from. Share how God saved you. Share the story of His great salvation towards you. Why? Because someone may need at that moment a little nudge to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I always say, oh God, just give me a little crack that I may slip in and tell them all about you. Oh, that's right. Saints of God, this is the time to speak up and to speak out and to let others know that Jesus is coming. But there's hope for everyone if they only believe and repent and turn toward a holy God. Can I get an amen? So let's move on now to verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I hope you're catching this, saints. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Wow. Wow. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Saints, there's something that we have to do. God is saying, work it out. Go through what you're going through. Yes, there are difficult times ahead of us. Right now, before I started preaching this message, I just looked on the news, and Russia has invaded his neighbor. And saints, we don't know if we're going to get drawn into this war, but we're living in the times where Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. Wow. Wow. See, Russia already invaded Crimea. And so, right now, there's troops going into his neighboring country, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them, because we do live in some perilous times. But Paul was writing to the Philippians, and he was just admonishing them, telling them that don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in the cares and the affairs of this world, but keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You see, saints, the Philippian church was dear to Paul's heart, and he didn't want his absence from them to be a detriment to their spiritual growth. So he requested that they always be careful to follow his instructions, even while he was away. That they must put on, they must put into what? Action. Action. God's saving work by obeying God with deep reverence. Praise God. Listen, my friends, you and I, this is what we're called. We just read those scriptures right now. We need to obey the voice of God and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, God did not promise a rose garden. He did say that in this world we would have tribulation. And my friends, I'm sorry, but this is not a fellowship or a church that's going to preach happy things only. We got to preach the Word of God, and we have to identify the times that we live in. And we're living right now in some perilous times. And I'm here to let you know that the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy is with us and upon us and living inside us. And so we must strive to obey. We must strive to do what's right. We must strive to hold up truth. Can I get an amen? That's right. So the Philippians and what Paul was saying, we must put our faith into action. That's right. That's right. By obeying God with deep reverence, my friends. Oh, that's right. Deep reverence. I need you to catch this scripture one more time. Look at that. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, Look at that. Not as in my presence, but what? But now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wow. Wow. So that's one of the keys, saints. That's one of the keys. It's just to learn to obey. Is it tough sometimes to obey? Yes. We're children of God. That's right. That's right. So what? We must learn. See, Paul was calling the entire church of the Philippian church to work together, to rid themselves of divisions and discord. And although believers are saved once and for all when they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in the grind of everyday life, that salvation is put into action. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you right now can honestly say you're being tested? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm being tested. Oh, that's right. Every one of us is being tested. Every one of us has a task and an assignment from God that He wants to see us accomplish. Every one of us, He has tailor-made a specific assignment that you and I are to accomplish. And God's, by God's grace, we will accomplish it. God will not allow us to be hindered. He will make sure that whatever He assigned you and I to accomplish before He comes will be complete. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul wanted the Philippians to put their salvation into practice. And for the health of the church, as they did so, they would not do it on their own merit and their own strength. No. It was through the Holy Spirit, the power. God would be working in them to do the task that He wanted them to do. Oh, that's right. That's right. See, when Jesus went away, He said, I'm sending the Comforter. And then He told the apostles to wait. He said to wait in the upper room. For what? To be endued by power from on high. And when we got filled with the Holy Spirit, He filled us with power. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote right here to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for profit of all. Praise God. You see, God gave us all these gifts. The gift of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. Y'all, that's right. God has He has a fivefold ministry that He left here on earth. Yeah, that's right. And I'm one of the five. I've been called to pastor. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, Jesus would give the Philippians the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him to what? To bring them true unity in the church. God works in believers, hallelujah, in many aspects, saints. And believers do God's work because we're empowered by God. We get the directions through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God and through the teaching of the Word of God. Praise God. See, we're all children of the Most High God, but yet we are partnered with God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God has included you and I for such a time as this? Oh, that's right. We live in those days, saints of God. We do. We do. So let's move on to verse 14. And the Word of God reads, 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may what? Become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights into the world. Saints, I need to ask you this. Do you think it has changed in the past 2,000 years? No. Matter of fact, it has become more crooked and more perverse. Oh, that's right. We're living in perilous times. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places. There would be apostasy. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. There's deception. There's deception in the church. There's deception in the world. Oh, that's right. Listen, we're in that time that Jesus said. He said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. Lot's day was physically violent. Wow. And very immoral. And in Noah's day, they were divisively wicked, scheming up things that was so wicked. And the Nephilim were there, where the angels came. They were demons, and they came, and they went into the women, and out came the Nephilim. And man, I'm telling you, it was wicked then. But Jesus said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah before he returns. So ask yourself this. Look what you're seeing around our culture now. It's not the same. It's no longer Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. And so we are living in the times that Jesus said. So you and I, we need to arm ourselves with the Word of God. We need to put on the entire armor, the helmet of salvation. That's right. The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. That's right. Our loins girded up with truth, and our feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. Praise God. Well, saints, Paul had advice for how they could go about acting out their faith, that they should stay away from complaining and arguing. That's right. Paul returned to the basic problem described in this chapter, that there was arrogance which led to dissension. Saints, one of the things that I've seen over the course of my 32 years is, unfortunately, there would be people complaining in the church. There would be people wanting to see things done their way, and instead of submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit and praying for the leadership, they would come against it. And Paul, he saw this. Look what he says right here. Let's look at it again. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may what? Become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's what God is calling us to do, saints of God, to be a light on a shining hill. So saints, Paul mentioned throughout Philippians that complaining translates from a word that describes a bad attitude which expresses itself in a constant grumbling. Do you know people, my friends, that constantly grumble? That nothing satisfies them, and they will learn. There's some people that will come into a fellowship, to a church, and after a while, they'll pick it apart and give you reasons why they're leaving. Oh yeah, and then they'll go to the next church and do the same thing. It's like they're never content. They can never get rooted and grounded in God's Word. They could never establish themselves and become a pillar in that fellowship. Why? Because they will find something that's wrong with you and raise themselves up above you. And then they will exit and stage left. They're gone. But see, my friends, the word for arguing has a legal connotation and may refer to the Philippian Christians going to civil courts to settle their differences. And an action Paul condemned elsewhere. He would condemn that. Listen, did you know that divorce in the church, I'm talking about in the church, is basically taking your brother and your sister to court in an unbelieving court? I want you to see something right here. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go to Corinthians 6:1. Look at this. This is straight out. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Let me just pause right there. I'm hitting on this because I see this everywhere. I see this everywhere. I see divorce in the church, and the ratio is now evening out. There's just as much people divorcing in the church than in the world. And the church is supposed to be the example. We're supposed to be the light on the hill. But look what Paul wrote about taking a brother and a sister to court. That's just one aspect. But then there's also civil matters, and I get that. But instead of coming to the saints of God to get wisdom and understanding and maybe hands laid on and maybe a heart of forgiveness of whatever the situation took place. Well, the church can do that, but not the unbelieving court. Look what he says right here. Let's look at this. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Wow, look at this. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning these things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. Look at what it goes on to say. But brother goes to law against brother, that before what? Before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you, look at that, that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Wow, wow, look at this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. Look at this. Nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's a serious indictment, isn't it? I'm glad Paul wrote it and not me, because I could see you guys already picking up tomatoes and ready to throw them at me. I'm just the mailman giving you the mail. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, saints, once again, complaining and arguing are completely opposite to Christ's attitude, which believers are to emulate. They are also to give people a bad impression of the church. And no one should be able to speak a word of blame against the believers. If all that people know about a church is that its members constantly argue, complain, and gossip, they get a bad impression of Christ and the gospel. Unbelievers then feel justified in criticizing the Christians. Probably more churches have split from causes related to arguing and complaining than from heresy. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, not getting along and bickering and all that. Instead, saints of God, believers' lives ought to be clean, meaning beyond reproach, incurring no justifiable criticism. This does not mean, saints of God, sinless perfection. Instead, the church was to be beyond the criticism of the unbelieving world. Their lives also ought to be innocent. There ought to be nothing within the church that would what? That would weaken its strength or contaminate the truth. Praise God. You see, my friend, the church's members then could be children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Saints of God, without a doubt, the Philippian believers lived in a generation filled with dishonesty and perversion. And while believers are rescued out of the present evil age and are no longer of the world, they're not taken out of the world. They are in the world and have been what? Given a commission to go into the world with the good news. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, I'm here to let you know that God has placed us in this world to be a light on a hill, to be the difference maker. Your family, your friends, your co-workers, your acquaintances should look at you with a whole different mindset. When they see you come, and they should see the light of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God, the grace of God, the faith of God living within us, so that we can show them that there is a hope, a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're coming to our last verse of scripture found in Oh, by the way, let me just finish verse 11. And such were some of you. Praise God. Let's go back. Look at this. All these things we talked about, but it says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Praise God. Listen, we came from that junk. We came from that pot of iniquity. And yet God saved you. He saved me. Praise God. And now we can be the light of the world. Praise God. So now let's move on. Verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have what? Not run in vain or labored in vain. Praise God. Paul wanted to make it clear to them, saints. He wanted to make it clear that the Philippian church should hold tightly to the word of life by spreading the truth of the gospel, praise God, beyond the doors of the church. And to do this, saints of God, they must be grounded in truth, refusing to compromise, praise God. And when Paul saw the church remaining clean and innocent and holding tightly to the truth as they reached out to a depraved world, he would be proud of them, praise God. Aren't you so blessed? So we are to what? Hold fast. Hold fast, like it says right there. Hold fast, my friends. Hold fast to the word of God. Praise God. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. How many believe he's coming soon? Well, yes, he is. You see, my friends, Paul had been the first to bring the gospel to the Philippian church. And he visited them one time and wanted to come back. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Paul's boasting was not prideful, as if he had what? Built the church with his own hands. Instead, his boasting would be like of a parent over a child who has done well. That's right, who has done well. My friends, I'm here to let you know, as I just mentioned, Jesus is coming again, soon and very soon. And guess what? You see these beautiful clouds behind me? He's coming in the clouds. He's coming again. But we have a task at hand. There's still a job to complete. You and I, we must walk and talk and act like the called out saints we are claiming to be. We must show this dying world that there is a true and living God living within us. We must let the light of God, the anointing of God, the power of God come forth from our being. We should be able to touch those and pray for the sick and watch them be healed. We should speak the word of faith to someone, to an unbeliever, and have them be convicted and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's what God has called you and I for such a time as this. And so, my friends, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to continue to hold on. Hold on, because Jesus is coming in the clouds. Yes, he wrote to the Thessalonians and wrote this. Look at this. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. When I read those scriptures, it brings great joy and comfort. And it should for you as well, that Jesus is coming for us. Hold on. Hold on. Be patient. Be long-suffering with folks. Oh, I know. Maybe God hasn't answered those prayers just yet. Maybe God hasn't reconciled those things in your life just yet. hold on. Hold on. Jesus is going to work those things out in our life by faith. And we're going to see something that's so miraculous that the world is not going to believe what took place with us. Why? Because the Bible says we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, faster than the speed of light. Speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second, faster. And we will be removed from these bodies that are so corrupt. Oh, that's right. We're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. We've repented of our sins. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're filled with His Holy Spirit. And we're heaven bound and now a hell to shun. But yet, we still live in these bodies of flesh that are still very sinful. So when God radically changes these bodies of flesh into the new body like His, the Bible says we will be changed and we will be like Him. Oh yeah, let's go and confirm this in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There it is. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. I'm going to be so blessed to know that God has prepared a brand new body for us. Oh, that's right. Yes, I can't wait that we don't no longer have to take these meds as we get older. These bones that hurt. Oh, yeah. These legs that can't walk as far as we once. You know, and the hair that has been lost. All these things. God's coming. He's coming for us. But listen, my friends, you may be watching for the first time, second time, third time, I don't know. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, please, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow, my friends, listen, you don't have to be like those people who were left behind. All you got to do is come to Jesus by faith. Repent of your sins. Cry out to God. One of the greatest scriptures found in the book of Acts is found in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Let's look at this for a moment. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. There it is, my friends. There it is. There it is. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that God has given us an exit? God has given us scripture that we can cry out to God and repent of our sins. Hallelujah. And turn from our wicked ways. Listen, if you are watching right now and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me so that I can pray for you. That you would open up your heart, that you would repent of your sins, ask God to come into your life and save you. And all you have to do is take one step of faith toward Him, and He will do the rest. So pray this prayer with me. It goes just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart, Lord God. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You could probably hear the rain coming down. It's pouring right now. Praise God. But guess what? Hallelujah. God is so good. And God is worthy to be praised. And if you prayed that prayer, look it right down below. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to lead you and guide you to a good church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so I'm so thankful. Thankful for each and every one of you that also has blessed our ministry. Down below is our website. Reach out, because donations are truly appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time to sign off and to say thank you for joining us this Wednesday night for Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Benita, California. So now, on behalf of my wife Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say we love you and we thank you for tuning in. Can't wait to see you next week. And so allow me to just extend the blessing, the benediction for this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, we love you. God bless you. I know you can hear the rain right now as I'm delivering this message. But praise God, praise God. Thank you for the rain, and thank you for tuning in. God bless you, and bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.